This is a production of Cornell University.
The time is 4:47. We'll now be beginning our essay meeting.
How do I adjust this microphone?
Joe is at a conference right now. He's gone.
Make a motion to amend it.
Awesome. Okay, first of all, I have an announcement. For anyone who is like here because they are interested in running for an essay seat, please talk to Lydia on our right. So you can sign in and then you can mark your attendance. Awesome. Thank you. Do you want to do the call to roll?
Late.
Excuse.
Morgan Baker, here. Colin Benedict.
Here.
RMA Pass.
Excuse.
Chandler Chikwara.
Excuse.
Excuse. John Clancy.
Here.
Osai. Jacob White.
Wait, sorry, who was it?
Masa Bagat.
Excuse.
Catherine White.
Here.
Julian Cole.
Here.
Yifan Lee.
Here.
Gavin Martin.
Excuse.
Nick Nicola.
Here.
Indigo Pablo.
Here.
Tomas Rooney. Lucas Smith?
Here.
Kolina Solieva?
Excuse.
Sarah Sun?
Late.
Noah Watson?
Here.
Brian Wontrop?
Here.
Kervil Wondaboo?
Unexcused.
Celine Chu?
Yeah, she's here.
Valentina Shu?
Here.
Jacob Youngblood?
Late.
Johan Wan?
Here.
What is the count? All right. We have 20 members present. The meeting is now in session. First, I'd like to let Indigo make an announcement, and then we'll head to Lydia for elections announcements.
Yeah, thank you. Just briefly, to anyone here who's interested in running for women's representative, I'd love to answer any questions that you have. My net ID is IAB29, or you can talk after the meeting. Thanks.
Thank you. Lydia.
Thank you. Do you have another mic?
Okay. So, hi, my name is Lydia. I'm the Director of Elections. Some brief announcements. So, after taking some time to meet with assembly members and hear your concerns, the elections calendar has been amended in the following way. There's going to be a second information session after the essay meeting on February 27th. We're just going to extend the reservation for the memorial room, so that's going to be added here. We're also going to shift the essay election registration deadline petition form due date from February 27th to March 2nd to give candidates 2 extra days plus the weekend to collect any signatures they need, even accounting for Ash Wednesday or the possibility that you're going to come back from February break late. We're also, in turn, shifting the mandatory campaign meeting from February 28th to March 3rd. If March 3rd doesn't work for you, that is a requirement, so you're going to have to see me after the meeting or send me an email, and I'll meet with you one-on-one to catch you up on whatever you missed. So, basically, candidates are going to lose out on 2 days of campaigning after the petitioning period is over, but given the concerns I've heard, I think this is an okay trade-off. You're still going to have until March 16th to campaign, so that's 13 days, just under 2 weeks. These edits have already been reflected on the website and the elections calendar. And briefly, I do want to clarify that there's been some confusion about the process of setting the elections calendar. The Director of Elections sets the calendar with the Office of Assemblies, and the Elections Committee then approves it. When we say we're working around the trustee elections, what we mean is that although the Board of Trustees doesn't have a say over SA elections, and our elections are independent of theirs, the Office of Assemblies can only support one election at a time, meaning one ballot or electorate voting at a time. Although we have run combined voting in the past, it's my understanding that this practice is no longer recommended by the board. So in a addition to thinking about the timing of other elections, we also wanted to avoid a situation which happened 2 years ago, I'm sure a lot of you remember, wherein the elections calendar didn't account for potential complications and the timing of spring break, and Cornell students had to wait over 19 days to find out the results of the election, which is obviously something we don't want to repeat. So this is all covered in Article 3, Election Procedures of the Election Rules PDF, which as elected members of the SA, I hope you become familiar with for the upcoming election cycle. And then if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them now or in an email later. My net ID is LZ337.
Thank you, Lydia. Any questions? John Quincy.
Hi, Lydia. First of all, thank you for all that you do with elections. It's a huge responsibility, and I think you've done a great job with it. Pardon me for asking this, but I was just wondering, in general, thinking towards, like, in terms of future elections, what was the cause of sort of like the really quick turnaround that led to the announcement being so close to the beginning of the campaign period?
So there were a lot of factors that went into it. For one, the communication process was a little bit delayed, but I think that we agree that it was not ideal that the turnaround was so short, and it's something that we're going to work to improve in the future. The Elections Committee is already working on ways to add recommendations for the coming years as to how we can improve that communications process going forward.
Thanks. Any other questions? If you have no questions, I'm going to allow Ruby Dianai Benedict to have an announcement.
Hi, everyone. My name is Colin. So a couple of things today. First off, we have just an announcement about kind of what's going on in Northern British Columbia with regards to the Wet'suwet'en people, and basically what the Canadian government's been doing up there. So in a nutshell, Native American and Indigenous students at Cornell, which is one of the 5 Alana organizations here on campus, issued a call out for support. Basically, the Wet'suwet'en people in Northern British Columbia, Canada, are facing the desecration of their lands. Coastal Gasoline Company is trying to construct an oil pipeline through their sovereign territory, and for the last 3 weeks, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police have been violently arresting protesters, tearing down blockades, and intimidating the Wet'suwet'en people in order to clear a path for the pipeline construction. So in solidarity with the Wet'suwet'en, many First Nations around Canada have blockaded railroads in order to show that Indigenous peoples will no longer tolerate the injustices of the Canadian government. So Native American and Indigenous students at Cornell is holding a drive to collect goods needed to support the Wet'suwet'en solidarity blockade that's currently taking place in Belleville, Ontario. The Tainanega Mohawk protectors there have blockaded a railway and are in urgent need of supplies and support as the Canadian government threatens to remove the blockade. So if you are able to donate any items from a list that I can provide, you can ask me about it. It's actually in the student assembly Slack right now, or to the community. I can distribute that via email. Then we're collecting them at the Aguado Program House located at 125 Trip Hammer Road, Ithaca, New York. We'll be taking donations today from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. and tomorrow from 5 to 7 p.m. So the donated supplies will be driven to the protectors at Belleville, Ontario, either late Friday night or early Saturday morning. If you have any questions or need to schedule a different time to drop off supplies, please email me, or if you'd rather donate directly to the Wet'suwet'en Legal Fund, which is basically this fund that's going to be used to help cover legal expenses for the dozens of protectors who have already been arrested, then I can provide that to you as well. So, yeah. Depressing stuff. Second announcement, the Student Assembly Diversity Innovation Funds got a request for $1,500 from the Pan-African Students Association. This was approved by the D&I Committee and the executive board. The application was for this Afric. It's a fashion show that has been going on for 15 years now. It's an annual event that features several lines of traditional Pan-African attire and cultural inspired designs made by established and aspiring designers. So, any questions, comments, concerns about that?
Thank you, Colin. Just a reminder for newcomers, if you're here because of an essay election and you wish to run, please come to Lydia here in the corner so that she can record your attendance. Before we move into Ozai's presentation, I'd like to move to open microphone just so we can save some time. If you have any questions or comments from the community, please come to the table in the middle. All right, we're going to close open microphone. Ozai, go for it.
Sorry about the background.
Do you think you could increase the brightness a little bit?
Yeah.
Thank you.
How do I do that?
It's cool. It's actually just got better on its own.
Oh.
It got better on its own.
Oh, okay. So, in case you don't know me already, for members of the community, my name is Ozai Agard. I really want to call it electronic voting right now because there are other ways to vote using technology that doesn't involve an eye clicker, even though that's a familiar term. We just have to expand the ways that we can deliver better transparency using that. So I just want to call it like electronic voting for now. So, oh, I'm sorry about the print is small, but I'll just wait to you. So like, the initiative was created like in an effort. The reason that I decided to pursue this was to increase our profile as an organization and to further build trust with the communities that we serve. You know, I first conceived the idea of just using iPad to vote, and I originally presented this before the executive committee on, I think this was around September, and then the last significant event that was related to the initiative was done back in December, and like over the break, I thought about ways that we can build on this, ways that we can reflect on what happened, what went wrong, and how we can move forward. So the way that I like to do my initiatives is to have a diagram in front of me. So, first stage would be to develop an idea, make an idea that addresses a problem that you think that can be resolved. So, you know, whatever this idea is, just develop it, make it. It doesn't have to be perfect right away. Just try to get something out there from your mind to like a piece of paper or a Google Doc, something like that. You know, and the second step after got this idea is sharing the idea. Share it with other members of the community. Start small, and then you can expand. And for some members, it takes a lot of courage to really share the idea of other people. But what I found was that the more critical the creator of an idea is, more critical of their own idea than what other people think about it. So not being afraid to share is good. And then the third one is to execute the idea. Try out the idea, identify what problems that were unforeseen during the development process, identify like the early feedback that was given during the execution stage, and just be mindful of like other people's reactions to the actual implementation. So then finally, we analyze the results. What was the feedback? Do we need to wait for this initiative to mature? Do we need to do something different that could solve the same problem? So, and then you go back around using that. So, there are three main problems that I identified with the way we vote today. Number one, it doesn't scale. As you increase the amount of members in the future, whether that happens now or 5 years from now, it becomes more difficult to count votes accurately, and that might be an issue where you may need like 60% of votes to advance something, or like 2/3 vote to advance something. Things like that are something that might be controversial, where one or two votes could really make the difference between something passing and something that doesn't pass. Second, it creates de facto secrecy. Historically, at most meetings, except for like controversial votes or like during election time, such as right now, the attendance at most meetings is quite low. So that means that not many of our votes are known. People know how the SA voted at large, but not how their individual representatives voted. And lastly, it promotes a chilling effect, which encourages people to vote with the majority, even though they might have a different opinion. And this is something that I thought about for some time. Like, you want to vote in the way that represents your constituents' interests. You don't want to vote just because your friend on the essay voted for something. So that increases the quality of voting. That not only increases the transparency, but that also increases the quality of voting. So the initial solution that I thought of was to vote using iClicker. That was pretty nice. It was pretty nice to vote using iClickers. You can just publish them on the SA Minutes and the website. And then we did try this out last semester. And the feedback distribution was, it was a normal distribution. You know, there were some people that said, oh, I don't like this idea, I'm against the idea. There are some people in the middle that could be convinced with the right changes, and then there are other people that really, really wanted the idea. So that really pushed me to continue to iterate over this idea over a period of time, because there's definitely like support on the essay for this. I can say with a lot of confidence that there's some community support for it, because we want to see how your individual member voted, and it helps bring us closer to the community. So some of the problems that like I noticed during the trial, for the people that happened to be there at the time, they had to look at next week's agenda. They had to look at next week's agenda on the SA website to get the results, which is not fair for them. So it kind of complicates things. It kind of made things more complicated than I originally thought. Second, I mean, how do we handle roll call? If we want to do roll call vote in the future, how would we handle it? Third, how do we conduct like secret ballots if we need to? And I think the most significant problems that arose from this, there was no like specific timetable for implementation. Like I kind of just went along with the flow last semester, if you guys know what I mean. So that led to people being frustrated, being fatigued, and people saying, "Oh, we just want to get this over with. We want you to succeed, but we don't want this to last forever." And lastly, the cost-benefit analysis. We need to provide more. This system, whatever this is, has to provide more benefit to us than the iClickers did to justify the possible monetary and the non-monetary costs. So my goal here was to minimize the cost-benefit ratio. You want all the benefit, but none of the cost. I mean, that might not be possible, but you want to minimize that as soon as possible.
Oh, so may I ask a quick question?
Oh, yes.
How long do you anticipate your presentation going until? 5:10, 5:15? Just so you can get a general estimate, we have a panel scheduled at 5:30.
Time limit. What time is it now?
5:09.
5:20.
Did you say 5:20?
Just
5:10 minutes. I'm going to do 5:15 because we do have to get the resolutions before we can get to resolution 30, which is a business of the day. So it's 5:15, okay?
Yeah, let's do that for now.
Awesome, thank you.
So yeah, okay, Vaughn. So basically, we weren't currently here on the discussion, but now we want to get to here, or at least somewhere close to it. I mean, it cuts off. Yeah. So the way that we solve the solution is, I was reaching out to this company that specializes in electronic voting called Meridia Interactive Solution.
Just wait for it to come back in.
Okay. The iClicker is too general. We need something specific to our needs. And the solution would be to get specialized clickers designed for our needs. Why should we do this? I mean, everything, the clickers, the software is provided for us. No recurring fees. We just pay for the additional clickers as the SA grows larger. The application enables votes to be displayed in real time. We have the speakers list in real time. Easier to take attendance. And the SA can get support from this company at any time. And there's no need to rely on people who happen to have the knowledge to basically equip this. So the next few slides is what it would look like. I'm just going to briefly go over this. Like, this would be a voting screen that I took from the website. Cool. Speakers list. You know, you would have a speakers list for a resolution, a guest resolution, so there's no more guest working when you're going to speak. And yeah, there's also secret ballot too, but I didn't include it there for the sake of time. So the clicker designs takes 5 more options, and we can customize it to our needs, so we can put the SA logo on it if we wanted to. cost. That's a big cost. That's a big thing. So I originally reached out to them and got a quote back in December. And so you pay $40 per clicker for 28 voting members in the assembly. And that's like $1,120. And one receiver is like $365, shipping is $40, and the discount provided to me was $250. So it is $1,275, and I realize the upfront cost is high, but the long term, but the cost to benefit ratio in the long run is small. And some next steps, determine how to integrate with current SA rules, motions, secret ballot, etc. Figure out where to place this potential screen so the community can see our votes in real time, and introduce resolution that will not only make the logistical changes, but also secure the funding to actually get this equipment and deploy. So the timing, this is the last slide, I promise. The timing is, I want to get this interim process over like the first two sprints after the break, and by the end of March, and I'm not very near, but by the end of March, or early April, is to have a resolution that legislates the logistics needed and secures the actual funding. So, yeah, that is pretty much all I have to share. Questions?
Thank you so much for your hard work, Masai. I think the software and hardware look really exciting. Any questions or comments?
I appreciate keeping this dialogue going over the past two semesters. I think that you've learned a lot of hard work from this. Again, I'm just going to bring up a few points that you may want to consider. I don't believe that there necessarily is so much benefit in the way the heavy cost. I think that, first of all, our money would be much better spent, as we, I think, can all agree, on a new speaker system, new microphones, perhaps updating our website to make it more accessible. Having trouble seeing much of the benefit as to just simply counting the votes. I don't think that there's that much time that you're necessarily going to save just by clicking. I foresee substantial technological difficulties, and I think it's a lot of aggravation. It's not necessarily worth the cost.
I mean, I do. We can work out our differences, but I do disagree at the moment because. I think we have an opportunity to bring ourselves to what we have. I think we have an opportunity to bring ourselves to the people we represent, and not the other way around. I understand that we do. We could use it on the microphone. We could use it on like SA website. But like, I think that this would be a step in the right direction in the use of our funds. This would not just be spending this money just to spend this money, but it would signify that yes, we are actually bringing ourselves to the community. We're going to allow you as a constituent to see how individuals voted, even though just that.
Yeah.
I mean, we can have this dialogue offline.
Yes.
But I generally think this is well justified.
Any other questions or comments for Osai? All right, thank you. All right, we're gonna move into our resolutions. Mariah, if you want to introduce your three. Awesome, thank you. Any dissent?
Wait, dissent.
Okay, state your dissent.
Mariah, how much money do we have left in special funds?
So we have, before the two that I'm talking about today, there was $12,000. And that doesn't include the $70,000 that we had from SAFC last December.
So we're putting, so wait, we really have 82.
Yes, we have. So we effectively have 82,000.
Do you rescind your dissent?
Oh, yeah. We have 82,000. So it's actually a little bit soft.
Do you rescind your dissent? Awesome. Okay.
Is there a motion? Motion to vote. Second. Second. All in favor?
That's 18 to 0 to 1. This passes.
So the next one is just a.
Next, we have resolution 41. You can open your note and you can begin whenever you want.
So basically, this resolution seeks to create an ad hoc committee which is going to deal with housing policy. I think Noah and I have been doing a lot of different housing recently, and in my time in the summit, I think I realized there is a lot of issues with housing that really should, we need a channel that we need, that like students can go to. I think that's a good idea. I reached out to the Residential Student Congress, and they will have members who will be sitting on our committee, so we have that voice there too. We'll also have community members on our committee. You could read the details, and if you have any questions in the resolution, but basically you'd have two co-chairs, two SA members sitting on the committee as members, two committee members, and two RSC members. Personally, I'm really excited for this. I think it's going to be a great way that we're going to be able to reach admin, provide unit for students. Definitely a great way to talk about housing, who would centralize all of it. Thank you.
Motion to move business today.
There's a second. All in favor of moving this into business today? 18 to 0 to 1. There's a second. Is there any dissent? All right, seeing no dissent, we'll move into voting. All in favor? All right. By a vote of 18 to 0 to 1, it passes.
Thank you all.
The next one we have is Resolution 42. Mariah, Noah, and Kevin is not here, but you. Oh, so let's see what's in.
Go ahead. chance, I'd also like to request that if you are using a mic, please don't tap or strike it. It's not good for the mics, but thank you.
You're welcome. Volume problems can only be corrected by the user. We have every mic as sensitive as it can be, and it can only be turned up by talking louder and within 3 inches of your face.
Thank you.
Thank you all for the resolution. I do agree that I do support the idea that we should reduce the signatures to 75 for a lot of marginalized groups' position on the student assembly. But I'm a little bit confused about the line 39 of the resolution saying the amendment as follows will be effective immediately. When you say effective immediately, are you saying that it's going to impact like spring election of 2020? Just a quick side note, but I thought we already released like the election rules and stuff. If we change, like, because this is an amendment to the bylaws, I assume it's going to be voted next week. Are we going to create like confusions, you know, among the petitioners and potential people who are interested in campaigning?
I think a quick email is all it takes, and a quick change in the website.
If I can also touch on this, this is not a bylaws or a charter change, it's an election rules change, which means it can be passed today if it has come to the business.
It can be passed today, and hopefully will be passed today. And then after that, it should just be a quick email, and we can change the website from 150 to say 75 instead of 150.
Gina?
Yes, sorry.
Gina, do you have any insight on this process?
I think your point is well taken that last night the undergraduate community received a notice of the elections with all of the outline of what they needed to do to participate. If this is approved by this body today, there's no way immediately to let that same body of undergraduates know of the change right away. So it's not a quick email. It actually could be an email, but it's a communicated and coordinated effort. So we would need to make sure that everybody has the information in order to participate. I think it's the rationale behind it is great. It's just making sure that for equity purposes and integrity of the election, everybody knows.
Awesome. Thank you, Gina. Next on our speaker's list is Brian.
Yeah, I want to preface what I'm saying with a recognition of why I'm not a member of any marginalized community on campus. And I do not speak for any member of any marginalized community on campus, nor do I speak for any individuals that hold these positions or will at some point in the future hold these positions. My question comes in not required for, say, the arts and sciences seat, which represents a smaller constituency, specifically than the women's representative constituency. I worry that that sends a message of, again, you don't need to reach out to as many people to be this representative. And my understanding is that that should not be the case. So I would ask that we separate this into two resolutions. First, addressing the LGBTQIA plus liaison, because I think that my understanding would be that those concerns are the most pressing at this point, because of all five of these communities, identifying the LGBTQIA plus community may be the most uncomfortable for a certain member to expose that to someone they're asking for petitions. And I would ask that we then vote on the two resolutions separately.
So, to, I guess, address your first point, there are a lot of seats that are 75 or less petition signatures, and so I've never been under the impression that those seats ever had a question of qualification, like how qualified they were for the seat, although their petition signatures are less than some other seats. If you look at the election rules, let's see, Hotel, which you are rep for, like basically all the college seats, transfer was only 25. Like, I don't think that we've ever been under the impression that, like, you or anybody else whose petition signatures were only 75 is somehow less of a, like, has less qualifications than, like, you needed 150. So I guess I don't really understand the point about, like, it'll make it seem like it's less work, because I don't know that, like, we already have, like, different brackets of how many petition signatures candidates need, like, the people who are running need. And so, yeah, I guess I guess that just doesn't seem like a valid concern.
Yeah, also, again, like for minority liaison, we're minorities, so we're smaller than on campus, which means there are fewer people that you might know or be able to appeal to for signatures. Also, at the end of the day, if someone gets the signatures, they're just put on the ballot, that doesn't mean they get the seat, right? If anything, we're introducing more candidates, which means we're giving more people the opportunity to, you know, communicate their platforms, and then from there, the best candidate wins, not necessarily who was the most popular candidate because they got more signatures. So I think we're also increasing the diversity of candidates that we're having on our ballots. And I think Indigo might have had something she wanted to say regarding the women's representative, so I don't know if I want to take my time to
go ahead, it's okay.
Lydia has a point of information.
Yeah, this is just basically agreeing with what Mariah said, that, you know, pretty much all of the college seats except for arts and sciences require 75 petition signatures. Speaking as the director of elections, and speaking as a member of the minority community on campus and as a woman, I would agree with Mariah that these don't seem like super valid concerns to me, just given that I don't think that you personally look at the Dyson School of Business representative or the College of Engineering representative as being lesser than or needing to reach out to their constituent community less than other members of the assembly. So just going off the election rules.
Thanks, all. Thanks, everyone. We have Aaron next on the speakers list.
Hi, thank you for your description. I think that might incent more students to get involved from the shared events. But I think I do agree with Gina that I feel if we change it right now, since already this election cycle has already started and we already published on the rule, if we change right now, it might be unfair and the decision might overwork in the election community. So I propose like this resolution to be effective starting at the next cycle in September, and not this election.
Yeah, I think that can be worked out. Can we maybe discuss more like the body of the resolution? Because I think, regardless, I guess I don't think that a vote would change depending on whether it goes into effect now.
retain our property if that's the case.
You said that we need to coordinate across campus to send out an email about, or like if you're saying it's not a quick email, if that would be true. Right. So how long would that take for that to go out?
Just to stick with the speakers list, we have Jacob Fight next.
I want to start off with the same kind of preface that Brian did, but I want to take it in a different direction. I think it's important that you have allies in communities, a majority on campus, who recognize the difficulties that minorities on our campus go through and the dynamics of power and privilege that play out here. And I think that it's important that we have this resolution not only pass, but be effective immediately in ensuring that we can continue to have a diverse assembly that accurately represents the student body. And I do recognize, not from firsthand experiences, but I definitely understand you. And I can understand all these struggles that come along. I think it's a misrepresentation to say that only members of certain groups would feel perhaps intimidated to ask certain individuals. I don't think that is my responsibility as an individual who is not part of these communities, nor is it anybody else's responsibility to stand up and say what somebody else feels comfortable with putting themselves out there. And I think that we should be encouraging more students to come out as leaders on campus. And so not only do I support this wholeheartedly, I would encourage my colleagues on the assembly to retain line 39 as it is written. And I'm sure you all, and I'd love to help you out, need be to make sure that we can get this done in an effective manner. And again, I don't think that this is a hindrance to anybody. We are decreasing the number of signatures. We're not asking people for more signatures. We're decreasing the number of signatures. And if they have already surpassed it, then they're good to go. I don't see that there's any complications there. So again, I urge your support.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Jacob. I completely agree. I guess I'm a little bit confused why the effect immediately would be changing anything, because I guess, or I should take it changing how people vote only because if we are lessening, this isn't an increase that would be like putting a burden on people. I completely agree. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. What's next on the speakers list? Motion. Is there a second? There's a second. Is there any dissent?
Can I just say something
quick? I'm going to let Lydia say something.
So we do have a second information session coming up, and I do have the net IDs of everybody who attended the first information session if we wanted to use that to get the information out to the relevant parties more quickly. I don't know if that's going to affect the way anyone votes, but I thought it was relevant to mention.
there any dissent or should we move to the name?
Yeah, you know what? There's
dissent. Please hear dissent.
Yeah, I guess.
Do you maintain your amendment?
I maintain.
All right, we're going to go into, we're going to vote to vote. So, vote to vote on the amendment. All in favor of voting to vote on the amendment?
Okay.
All right, 12 to, okay, any dissent? All opposed? One, two. Any abstentions?
Excuse me.
All right, 12 to 8 that did pass. We're now going to move into voting on the amendment. Okay. So, all in favor of this amendment, please raise your placard. Proposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay.
That is so interesting.
All opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay. Any abstentions? 1. Okay.
Abstention is a complicated.
Damn it. Is there a motion to reopen discussion?
I would like.
I think I should just end voting. Well. We have to entertain the resolution on the floor, so you can't go into discussion again.
Can't we discuss the amendment?
Oh, yes. Let's discuss the amendment.
Thank you.
Okay.
Going
we're going to move into discussion while we figure out like the vote counts. All right. Speakers list for the amendment.
Oh, gosh.
I'm going to also request that you guys be very quick because we do have some things left on the schedule. I'm going to start this way. Just go ahead. Keep your hands up, okay?
Yeah. What was your question?
Yeah, so I guess before, I guess kind of just to preface this discussion, I think it is, I think amendments are always welcome, and I think that discussion is always welcome, but I do think that it's also important to remember that like this is our resolution, and I'm not saying that like you just have to vote on things as they are, but like this is changing like our mission with this resolution, and I think that it's important to remember like this is not our mission. Like, when this, if this change were to happen, like you are changing what we wanted as writers of this resolution.
Also, I think you should look at how the people who are actually in these positions are voting and where they're voting, because at the end of the day, they're representing the communities that are affected by this.
Do you
still want
to go into discussion?
Yes.
Okay, LTP may start. Keep your hands up until I get you all.
All right, so thank you guys for the resolution. I really like the idea behind it by encouraging more people, especially from more marginalized community, to run. However, I think my only question kind of also to the amendment is that the research that went into this resolution, I would like to know, do you guys know in the past, has the number always stayed like this? Because I just did a quick research and then it seems like since 2010, I think only 2013, the number of arts and science went down by 25, and all the others remained the same. So I think there is a reason that numbers have been this way the same, and in the past, I don't think there is necessarily kind of like issues coming up that not enough people are running. So I would just love to know more because my research might not have been in depth enough.
I think it goes back to the fact that like all the other college seats are 75. We're not, you know, creating a number out of nowhere. I think it's a pretty relevant number. I think it's a pretty reasonable number. Some of these community campuses are about the size of their colleges. That being said, I also think just because it hasn't been changed in the past doesn't mean we shouldn't change it now. If the numbers were changed in 2013, I think it's perfectly reasonable to look back at them now in 2020.
I'll be brief. I just think that adding this amendment feels like using an institutional barrier as a scapegoat for getting out of acting on immediate change, which in turn harms the integrity of this resolution.
Oh, I guess actually I should. Sorry. Yeah.
I think I got your point about how like effective immediately will be like more helpful, but I think I keep my point about like it might be unclear because, for example, if I want to run for one of the five positions and I saw the route that required 150 petitions, I think it's too much for me, so I just decided to not run. And afterwards, 3 or 4 days, I saw the route change. I decided to run again, but it will give my peers more petitions today. So it's not fair to me or to the other candidates to change the route for this election cycle. So it's this is my point of it might be unfair to affect me immediately.
I think that's a logical fallacy, right? Like, that's the argument that we shouldn't get rid of student debt because some people have paid their debt off. Like, just because it was unfair and inaccessible for X amount of time doesn't mean we shouldn't act immediately to make it more accessible. At the end of the day, we literally announced election rules 2 days ago. It hasn't been a week. It hasn't been like a ridiculous amount of time. It's been 2 days. I think Lydia and Gina have both made it clear that they're willing to work with us to make it possible. I think if they try and it's not possible, then maybe we can come back to it and say it's not logistically possible. But based on what our director of elections has said, I think they're saying that they think it would be possible and reasonable to make these efforts. And again, I don't think just because it was inaccessible for 2 days, we should not make it accessible now. And again, we have email, which Lydia says she has bad ideas.
So, point of information, we do have guests and a panel that have been waiting, so I'm going to ask someone to make a motion to table this to go like further down on our agenda, so we'll still talk about it this meeting, but just after our other
motion to move this resolution after the panel.
There's a motion, there's a second. There's a second, all in favor of moving this until after the panel slash presentation. That clearly passes 18-0-1. All right, so we're gonna move to the next part of our agenda.
I'm gonna request a motion to amend the agenda so we can put SA Resolution 30 next, because that's the one on the panel.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Second. All in favor?
All right.
All
right.
18-0-1
amended
the agenda.
All right. We're going to go into our panel for Resolution 30 about the student contribution campaign.
Thank you.
this as close as possible to the mic as you can.
Okay.
A little dim to it.
Okay, great. So we just wanted to bring some folks who would be directly impacted by your vote today to talk to you about their experiences and what a resolution like this could do for them. Yeah, maybe let's go down the line so everyone can do names. And maybe your name, their major, and your year.
Hi, I'm Mark. I'm a gut major. It's my third year.
Hi, everyone. I'm John. I'm a gut major and a junior.
Hi, I'm a junior.
Rihanna, junior. Tyler.
Rihanna, junior. Microbiology.
Hi, I'm Marlena Plumer. I'm a first semester senior studying government.
Luz, econ sociology senior.
Now we're going to give folks an opportunity to speak about their student experiences due to the burden of the student contribution that we believe is a class tax. John, would you be comfortable starting with the panel?
Sure. Members of the SA and the Cornell community, thank you for listening to me speak today. POC USAS 3, thank you for championing this good fight. To those of you who don't know me, my name is Jonathan Davidov. I'm a first-generation, low-income student. I'm the son of a single mom. I am the first in my family of refugees from Uzbekistan to be born in America. I wear all of these designations with the utmost pride. I was asked today to speak to my experience as a low-income student. When I was asked the same question by the Sun a year ago, I compared the experience here at Cornell to Chinese water drop torture, a slow but steady, constant drip on your forehead, reminding you, you're poor, you don't belong. You're poor, you don't belong. That is not the route I want to go down today. Instead, I want to tell you a story about something in my pocket. I'm going to pull it out. If I can. This is a $5 bill my grandmother gave to me. I wrote on it, my lucky $5 bill from Grandma. I drew a heart. 10/9/18. My grandmother gave me this bill over fall break of my sophomore year. She is still alive. This bill is not actually lucky. I cannot tell you why I keep it in my pocket at all times. But I can tell you what makes this bill special. My grandmother pulled me aside, away from my mother, into a room, opened a creaky little drawer in her wooden desk, pulled out this lone $5 bill, and forced it into my hands and said, John, no ifs, ands, or buts, you're taking this. I see how hard you struggle. I know how hard it is for you at Cornell. You know we have nothing to give you, but at least you'll have this. And she cried, and I hugged her and held her as she cried. And it took everything for me not to break down with her in that moment. That is what it means to be a low-income student here. Keeping it together through all the drops that threaten to drive you insane here, and keeping it together at home as the world crumbles apart there too, all because of a lack of this. Now, if there was one thing I could finally spend this $5 bill on, if there was one thing I could do with it to make not only my grandmother proud, but my mother proud, and everyone out there like me proud, it would be to abolish the student contribution here today. And I implore you, members of the SA, to pass this resolution. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Mark. I did not. 12 years ago, my sister actually applied to here as an undergraduate, and she got in. But she was unable to attend because we were poor, we were undocumented, and we didn't have the resources for her to come here. Even a small student contribution would have been too much, and she decided to go to her second choice school. 10 years later, I applied and I got in, and after a lot of consideration, I became the first person in my school to go to an Ivy League college, and the only second person to go to college at all in my entire extended family of about 120, 130 people. This was huge to us, but it never has felt like a triumph. Instead, I think about all the students that weren't able to make it here. The ones like my sister who were forced to go somewhere else that I'm sure still provided an education, but you and I both know is nothing compared to the caliber that we have here. Even now, I know that my existence here is at the whim of Cornell. I currently live in a hallway because it is easier to pay friends and find affordable housing there than to sign a lease that I'm not sure I'll be able to reach every month. Sometimes I find it hard to eat, and so I will have to take things from grocery stores that will, you know, last me just some more time. And as much as I try to work, it is more stress, more anxiety on an already fragile psyche that feels like they don't belong here. And I just think that eliminating the student contribution isn't just something that isn't asking for a lot. It's just asking to do right by the people that couldn't make it here and the people that struggle to be here every day.
So during my
impact. You know, you can work, you know, if everything else normal, you can work during the summer, you can contribute to your education, have a stake in your education, but for so many people that's not the situation, that's not the case. You don't, you know, like so many of us don't have that option, or then to make up for it, we're working, like I'm working two jobs to help to make sure that I can help contribute. And it's hard because it's as if, to me, the student contribution feels like it's this idea of, like, our contribution has to be this monetary thing. There's so many things that so many of my fellow working peers do here to contribute to Cornell that isn't monetary, but it seems as if that's the only thing that matters, you know? And it's just a very, this puts us in a very difficult situation because so many of us don't have that option to just work over the summer, or we're making up for it during the semester, and then we're struggling academically, and then it just spirals from there. And thankfully for me, like, yes, I'm graduating in May, but for me, I'm one of the very few people that ended up working out and going to be able to do this. And I just beg everyone to see and hope that, you know, like going forward, that we don't have to be here and have these stop stories and have this happen and just beg for help. And it's what it is that we're begging for help here.
I think I'll speak more to an opportunity that I have.
speakers. I want to defer to Yana and Kat on how you want to proceed from here. If you would like to vote immediately, or should we do a Q&A, or what is out of respect to you guys? What
work? Do you folks have further questions?
Like questions in particular?
I'm going to start a speakers list, and it's going to be, okay. So I have Mariah, Tomas, and Valentina on the speakers list. Please raise your placard. And also out of respect for panelists, I just hope that this doesn't go on too long, because people have had long days. They're working. Mariah, you can start.
Hi, yeah, I just wanted to thank you all for being here. We kind of discussed this last week, but thank you for sharing. I know that a lot of that is intense emotional labor, and you are in front of a lot of people. So yes, thank you for sharing your story. I'm also a low-income student, first gen, single parent. I completely relate and definitely support all that you guys are doing, so thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to say that I'm sorry that y'all felt like you needed to do this for us to say yes, because we should say yes regardless. I'm really sorry y'all felt like you needed to do this. So that in mind, if y'all's questions are going to affect whether you vote yes or no, I think we should vote. So I would like to motion to vote. Unless your question is going to change your vote, I think we should vote.
Sorry.
Alright. Any dissent? Thank you, Tomas.
So seeing no dissent, we're going to move into voting. All in favor of passing this resolution?
Vote to 19-0-0. This passes. Thank you so much. Okay, I'm going to miss a recess for about until 6:15. So we're going to take a break. They do that by then. Thank you.
Also, like, on the fully funded academic Cornell, like, I felt like there's also other members on the assembly, and that's same.
can't do more than say, we should build a piece of therapy.
I know. Like, I was like, wondering if we could
have
resources
for
offer.
That was going to be my question. Like, we're obviously going to say yes, but what else can we do now? Like, because this isn't doing it. Which is unfortunate.
No, you're right. Like,
it's like, this does not. It does not.
I think what's really exciting about this position is that they've worked really close with the administration. So
if that's going to work, then fantastic.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate because it's like it would be so easy and it's always so much fun to have to support these people and the people that have them are always there. So it's just unfortunate. If I need to leave at 6:30, that's fine.
Yeah, I think we're gonna have to someone's been asked, we should take some money, but
okay. Okay. Thank you.
Respect for people's time, and because I want to be able to end this meeting when it should end, or close to that, could I please request that the SA members return to their seats so we can begin our meeting again? Thank you.
So we're going back to the amendment, the discussion about the amendment, about changing signature requirements. For the sake of time, we're going to start limiting statements on the speakers list to 1 minute. I'll be timing that, just because we really need to be respectful of people's time. It's not just us that's here running this meeting. So if you'd like to be added to the speakers list, we're starting a new speakers list, please raise your hand and catch. We're going back to the petitioning signatures. Okay. So, again, I'm keeping you guys down to a minute. Actually,
30
seconds, actually, because things are getting a little redundant.
Yes, start right. Okay. We can start with.
I'm a white cis woman in my position. My position has historically been held by other cis women. And this would just be an amazing step towards promoting intersectional feminism on this campus that hasn't really been seen before. So I really would like to see this pass.
Just going inside?
Yes. Sarah's on the next, I think.
Hello. Thank you all so much for this. I really, really love that. I really love the resolution. I'm wondering what you would think about if we scaled the number of signatures to be reflective of the size of the community that the person in that position is representing.
I don't know that I'm comfortable with that, only because I don't think that we know numbers like that. And I don't know that we need to know numbers like that, but we don't, like there are communities in which the numbers like that are very, very difficult to get. And I think we don't even know how to start with like trying to figure out like who on this campus is trans, and I just don't know that I feel
like things like, because for minority and first generation international, because those communities are smaller, like, do you think that it would, so if, because they're smaller, like, can we maybe reduce, okay, would that be a stronger justification to
I just don't think, like, our current numbers are not scaled, so now we're setting a precedent for scaling, which, like, maybe that's a larger conversation we had about petitioning. But at the end of the day, like, this is literally just, like, a prerequisite so that you can get on the ballot. Like, I think we're really overthinking this. This is just to make it more accessible to get on the ballot. It's not, like, I think this super controversial thing that is kind of becoming. And really, truly, I just think 75 is a reasonable number based on the fact that there are multiple other seats that have the same number. So clearly, like, our predecessors decided that number was relevant. I think if we're going to scale, then we need to talk about scaling every petition signature number.
All right, so we're going to limit follow-up because this is just going to happen with every person that's on the list. So you're going to be added to the second speaker's list if your question is heard. Thank you. All right, Jacob Fite.
Yeah, I'm just, I want to get a better understanding of reservations that some folks are having regarding this. I know that would potentially be dragging this conversation out much longer, but I think it's very, very necessary, given what I perceive to be the gravity of this resolution and the importance of this resolution, specifically due to its time and nature. Furthermore, I feel that there is no downside to enacting this resolution immediately, as I said before. If there's any logistical error, any logistical reasons why we should not do this, I would like to hear.
Can I just make a comment? Yeah, I guess I kind of want to do another show because, as Thomas said, I don't know that this needs to really drag out. Like, are there serious, like, is this discussion that, like, I don't know how long the speaker's list is, but, like, are people still, like, confused or, yeah, are there still reservations, as Jacob said, or, like, are people kind of comfortable with voting? I guess I'm just curious, like, yeah, could we maybe do a straw poll of like where people are at? Like, are you comfortable with voting right now? So I guess a straw poll.
Raise your hand if you want to vote right now.
Just like a straw poll. This isn't going to
This isn't gonna like go into the motion. This is a motion vote.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
There are 6 people of 18 that are willing to vote. There's also 7 people on the speakers list right now, so 8 actually. So we'll keep going.
Straw poll for like actual votes on the resolution. Is that what you guys? Yeah. Could we do a straw poll for actual votes on the resolution?
What?
Could we do a straw poll for like actual votes?
Oh yeah, let's also do a straw poll. Would you do you support this resolution? Just a straw poll. This isn't an even commitment.
Will you vote yes?
As is or like with
as is. Obviously not.
11 votes right now.
Can I do a straw poll? How many people would be willing to vote for it if the amendment is passed?
How many people would be willing to vote for the resolution if this amendment is added on the resolution?
It doesn't matter.
So that's 7 people. No more straw polls for the rest of the meeting. Please refrain from using straw polls.
Do we just need a majority to pass?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just vote.
Second.
So there's a for the resolution to
go into voting, you need 2/3 of like everyone who's present to pass the resolution. You need a simple majority.
Two-thirds to go into voting.
So we're going to continue on the speaker's list?
No,
we're motion. So there's a motion to vote on the floor. Is there a second? Is there any dissent? State your dissent.
Yeah, I believe we should continue the conversation.
I motion to move into business.
All right, so we're going to rescind your motion to vote on the resolution. Motion to move this into business of the day. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Okay, all in favor, please raise your placards. And moving this into business of the day.
Business
of the
day also.
1, 2, 3. All right, I think that's clearly passes. We're moving it into business of the day. All right, there's a motion to vote on the floor. Is there a second? Is there dissent?
Right.
We're not withdrawing our motion. So now we're going to vote on voting.
Well, this
needs.
Oh,
state.
Were there questions that have already been stated?
I can't speak for anyone else.
Okay, so.
I don't withdraw.
All right, so we need 2/3 to move into voting. Into voting. All right, so all in favor of voting on the resolution, raise your hands.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
That's 8. All against going into voting. All abstaining. Of a vote of 8 to 9 to 1, this does not go back into voting. We're moving back into the speaker's list. The next person is John Clancy.
Okay. Thank you so much for bringing this resolution today. The only thing, I'm gonna vote for this as it is without the amendment, out of respect for those who represent these communities and the obvious, My only caveat today is I really feel like it should have been communicated clear. I believe communication is essential. Leadership should communicate with the community. This is a great resolution. Every point that was made today is valid, but that the planning that should have been for the election cycle in order to clearly communicate, because I feel like we're not being equitable by letting people know after the information session, after we promised them that this was going to be the number. My mom always told me, always keep your word. Your word is your bond. And I truly believe that. Out of respect for these communities, I'm going to vote for it as is. But I do want to state that this shouldn't happen in the future in terms of the time of years.
Lucas?
Yeah, so I guess I agree with John on a lot of that. Definitely, it's a great resolution, but I'm gun-shy because of the effect immediately that we're just kind of throwing this out there and kind of hurting our credibility as an assembly. Not that we're not confident, but we're just kind of like surprised again and again and again. And it's not that it's like a fault of our own or anything. I mean, things happen, but if we're just putting insult on injury this time around. I'm kind of curious also, in terms of the general reapportionment, if maybe our working committee that's looking at all of the distribution of seats could look into this as part of that too and have that discussion. I think it's OSI.
Thank you. Sorry, time. I also point of information. Just to clarify, so are people unwilling to vote because of the effective immediately thing?
Yes.
Does it make sense that if we keep it as is, but then if it passes, we work with the Office of Assemblies to see if it's possible? If it is possible, then it goes into effect. And if it's not possible, then Does that make sense? Is that acceptable? Not acceptable.
Why is it not acceptable?
I'm going to the speaker's list. Thank you for letting me speak, Morton.
Okay, first off, I just want to say I really appreciate the time you put into this. Next, I just don't feel that women should only have to collect 75 signatures. I think the current number, 150, is sufficient, as we do represent 53%. do agree that the rest should be dropped to 75. So for that, I think that I would like to ask that you make two resolutions. One, but removing the women's issues part. And yeah, so I just want to request that.
Yeah, so I don't think that I feel comfortable with that. Regardless of the 53%, I think that we all are aware of the power dynamics in our society and on this campus. Regardless of like 53% or even if it were 60%, our society does not, like, women are not equal, right? And so it's like, regardless of that simple majority, like, it's literally 53%. Like, that doesn't change anything, right? Like, that doesn't mean anything. And so, yeah, we won't be changing that, unfortunately. And also, with the X being changed, we're also, like, thinking about trans women, we're thinking about inclusion, and, like, they're obviously not 53%.
Also, I'm counting at 53% because on paper I'm still an F on their system. So also keep in mind that, you know, statistics on who's female and who's not on this campus is a deeper conversation than that. So yeah, I think we need to recognize that people who are presenting about women's issues, which unfortunately I still am, are not just the people you think of as women and are oftentimes a part of marginalized communities.
Thank you.
We need a motion to extend the meeting.
Motion to extend 5 minutes.
There's a motion by 10.
Okay.
Is that second?
Second.
All right, all in favor of extending the meeting by 10 minutes. this clearly passes. So, yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Brian is next on the speakers list.
Yeah, my thing is, why wasn't this brought up a week ago, 2 weeks ago, a month ago, 2 months ago? I worry about the process. We could have done this the entire year. It's been clear for a very long time that these were the previous requirements. We wanted to change them. Why is it that we're waiting until right now to do it? That is my only concern at this point.
I mean, honestly, like, we had our first sprint meeting this past Sunday. I was on winter break. I'm not thinking about SA constantly during my winter break. Noah came up with the idea, frankly, and came up to me, and I was like, that's a brilliant idea. And so we were like, let's make it happen now. Would you have rather we waited another 6 months and continue to disappear? Like, I really don't think it's that controversial. Like, it's just getting more people on the ballot, y'all. Like, it's not that serious.
All right,
thank you.
No problem.
Awesome. Okay. Everybody, stick with your speakers. We have 5 people left, okay? And again, try to keep it brief. W has a timer. Osiris next to the speakers list.
So, like, my personal, like, opposition to the resolution as it's written is not the fact that, it's not that I oppose accessibility for marginalized communities, because I want more people to learn. I want more people to enter into shared.
If you
want
to move
in, I want more people to learn, but like, what's controversial is like the timing. It feels like if you guys were to introduce this, like, even as late as a week ago, we would have all been on more larger side.
Okay, so I think that you are making the same point that Brian just made, and I don't think that we need to keep talking in circles. I am starting to get nervous because a lot of you are saying, oh yeah, I support this, but there really is no but. If you support this, you will vote yes for it. Like, there is no, like, I don't understand what is complicated about this. Like, you cannot say, oh yes, I support these communities, but they should wait another election before they get the representation or they get the easier access to this assembly, period. Like, there is nothing left to be said. Like, I mean, I understand why there's all of this, like, oh, let's put it into effect fall. Like, I support these communities, but, like, we need to wait until next semester. Like, no, if you support it, you support it. If you don't, you don't. Like, say it with your chest. Motion to vote.
Okay.
There's
a motion to vote. There's a second.
Any dissent?
Is there any dissent? All right, seeing no dissent, we're going to be voting on the resolution as is. So all in favor of passing this resolution, please raise your hand.
How much can you raise? 1, 2, 3?
No, it's just 1, 2, 3. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
All right.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Abstention counts as a no vote, technically speaking.
Technically, that's how it doesn't add. Yeah, we can have that conversation offline, but. Alright.
So, voting of 12 to 4 to 2, this resolution passes.
We can continue to be talking about like reapportionment of seats as for meetings, okay? Yeah, that's happening. That's what everyone.
Oh, size committee. Talk to those. Sorry. Talk to those. Sorry. Yay. Okay. She has all the statements. All right.
Thank you so much, Colin. We have one person on the speakers list. Jake, anybody else? Jacob Fay.
Yeah, what we've seen at Syracuse is yet another disgusting representation of the hatred that still exists in this country. Right to protest is the only way things get done in this country. Supporter of all these protests. I think that until we can truly say we eradicate this kind of behavior, bigotry, sexism, homophobia, xenophobia on campus, we gotta keep protesting. We gotta keep going. My mentor often states a Martin Luther King quote, and it states, in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. And you know, that continues to hit home for me on a regular basis. And that regardless of where you sit in terms of privilege, as long as you stand up, you have an obligation to stand up for those who don't, for those who don't have that privilege. And although we haven't seen this kind of behavior come here, I think it's important that we stand against it as a peer institution.
Motion to vote.
Second.
Any dissent? Okay, no dissent. All in favor?
18 to 0 to 0. This passes. Thank you so much, Carla. Okay. We have one thing left on the agenda.
Motion to move the business of the day.
Okay. First motion to extend the meeting by 5 minutes.
No motion.
Second. Okay. Awesome. Thank you. All in favor?
When we have to leave. Is it okay?
This fully passes and the meeting has been extended by 5 minutes. We have one thing left on the agenda. Resolution 33.
Thank you.
Resolution 33.
Wait.
Okay.
Okay, before
we
continue.
So they never know about it here anymore.
I do have an amendment actually that I get to close.
Alright, so can you rescind your motion to vote Brian?
It's really quick. It's just
okay.
So
this is an amendment motion, please.
Yes, motion to amend.
All right,
line 85 of the resolution. Willie accidentally missed queer. So the amendment would be to add queer after transgender. So it would read lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, asexual, genderqueer, pansexual, questioning, two-spirit, etc.
Second.
All right. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, we're going to vote on this resolution. All in favor of having this resolution into the. Or amending this resolution.
Oh, sorry, are you voting? Okay, thank you.
A vote of 17-0-1, this amendment clearly passes. There's a motion to vote, there's a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, all in favor of voting on this resolution. Vote of 17-0-1, this resolution passes. There's a motion to adjourn. There's a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent. All in favor of adjourn? All right. All right. Great.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.